Well, I remember a time that I just blew it in my business life as a businessman, and having graduated from college and looking to get into the business world and into a big company. I thought a big company would be the answer. I ended up with a company called Browning Ferris Industries. It's a garbage company, a recycling and waste and recycling company. And I'll never forget, I had worked my way, and I had finally gotten the big promotion. I'd finally gotten the job that I wanted to go into, and they told me, they said, "Now, we're having a meeting at the airport. You're going to be meeting the rest of your team for the very first time. Very important." And so I went home that night. I set my alarm, went to bed happily dreaming of how this day was going to play out. And then at 8 o'clock, my wife is shaking me. "Aren't you supposed to be somewhere?" And I will never forget, we laughed about this the other day as Melinda and I were talking about just blowing it. I remember I jumped from dead sleep onto my bed, and I began to jump up and down and go, "What do I do? What do I do? What do I do?" You ever had one of those moments? I just was locked in fear because I'm sitting here thinking, here's my new job, and what are they going to think the very first day? I was supposed to have gone and met somebody, picked them up, taken them down there. And I remember as I drove to the airport, and I was trying to think of all the ways I was going to be able to explain away everything that happened as I walk in to meet my new team of folks. And they were very nice about it, but it wasn't a very good first impression. Now, some of you raised your hands that you absolutely have just had times in your life. And I'm sure as I was thinking about my experience, you thought of a time in your life where you just absolutely blew it. The reality is that every single one of us, if we're honest, have blown it sometime. Matter of fact, turn to your neighbor and say, "We've all blown it." Just turn them, tell them. Yeah, we've all blown it. Every single one of us. But the reality is that, you know, that was a job thing. That was something that was in my profession. But here's the real challenge. Is that so many times in my own life, guess where I've also blown it? With Jesus. You know, a job's important, but in my spiritual life, I've blown it with Christ. How many, if you're just honest, would say there's been times I've just blown it with God? Yeah, hands everywhere. Listen, I think today we need to hear this message. To look at somebody, if anybody ever blew it with God, it was Peter. If anybody ever had a walk with God intimately and close, it was Peter. And today we're going to be looking at a slice of Peter's life of someone who just blew it. Just blew it. And really, as Peter is in this part of his life, we see that he's probably wondering the same question that I had with my company. How do I start this over? How do I get a second chance? How do I get a third chance, a fourth chance? And so many of us have blown it. Maybe for many of you, you've blown it at the job like me, but for many of you, maybe it was in your marriage. Just blew it. Today you're like, "Man, I'm not sure if there is a second chance for me. I've done things. I've said things." Maybe it was in your health. Just not taking care of yourself. Not eating right. Say, "Man, I've blown it there." Maybe with money. Yikes. I think we've all made those decisions where we just look back and go, "Man, I blew it. I absolutely wish I could do a do-over. I could start again when it comes to how I do my money." I know for me as a parent, many times I would like to have some do-overs with my kids. Maybe you've blown it with your kids a couple times. Maybe today there's an issue that you just feel like you've blown it. Maybe in relationships in general. You see, last week we talked about the fact that when Jesus came, he came to fix the greatest thing that we need. Our greatest need was, yes, forgiveness, but ultimately a relationship with God. You see, for many of us, we might say, "I'd love to have a do-over." And so as we look at the life of Peter, as we look at the actions of Jesus, here's what we're going to answer today. The tension question for me and for you is this. How, How do we start over? If we'd like a do-over, if we'd like to be able to change, maybe you're sitting here today and you don't like the position that you're in today and you've just been frozen with what to do next about how do I do something different? How do I take a step in the right direction? How can I start over? Well, as we look at the life of Peter, we see somebody who is on the run. What's interesting about Peter is that as we jump into this chapter here, Peter has already had two encounters with Jesus. The resurrected Jesus has come and he's met with Peter and the other disciples. But now as we move into this chapter, we see something very interesting is that we, first and foremost, we have to admit that we need to change, that we want to change. You see, Peter in this particular passage, let's see what it says here. Here's what Peter says. Peter had denied, I'm sorry, in John chapter 1, verse 3, here's what he says. He says, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told him. And they said, we will go with you. See, the reality is that Peter was not where he's supposed to have been. There's going to be a map that's going to pop up on the screen behind you. And it's what do we see? He says, Peter says, I'm going to go fish. And he's at the Sea of Galilee. You see, everything that took place with Jesus' resurrection and everything that took place where they were, all that was happening in the New Testament was happening right down here next to the Dead Sea with the Gospels and everything that was happening with Peter, with Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. And what do we see? We see as this chapter opens up, we see that Peter is 90 miles away from the last place he saw Jesus. 90 miles. That's not by accident. Because what do we know about Peter? We know that way down here when in Jerusalem, when everything was going on, scholars tell us that as Jesus was at Caiaphas' house, that he was being beaten and questioned and all the things that were happening, it says that Peter denied Jesus three times. And the last one, he says, I don't even know who this guy is. And scholars will tell you. And the scripture says that Jesus locked eyes with Peter, that they were so close that they could see each other's eyes. Can you imagine someone you've spent 3 years of your life with, living day in and day out, seeing miracles, all the things, and then suddenly you're denying the one who's done that, and Jesus looks you right into the eye, and what do we see? We see suddenly that Peter is 90 miles away fishing. You see, so many times when it comes to me and you and I mess up, we run, don't we? Especially in our relationship with God. We don't run toward Christ. We run away. We just want to get away from the one that we locked eyes with and realizing what was going on. You see, in John 21:3, it says, I'm going out to fish. Simon Peter told him. And they said, we will go with you. The other disciples is talking here. It says, so they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called them out, friends, have you any fish? No, they answered. You know what's interesting here is that 90 miles away, they're on a boat, they're fishing, they're going away from the very thing that God has called them to do because in Peter's mind, he's done. He's turned his back on Jesus. He locked eyes with him. He's now gone back to the thing that he thinks is most comfortable, and he says, let's go fishing. And Jesus shows up on the shore. Let me just tell you something. You may run from Jesus, but he will follow you. He will find you. You can't escape. You see, we're talking about a God who loves us, who even from heaven sought us out on our behalf. And once again, Jesus is seeking Peter out some 90 miles away now, standing on the shore, calling out to these men, hey, did you catch any fish? Now, how many of you like to fish in here? A lot of fishermen. Well, I don't know why we hadn't had more fish fries then. We've only had one that I know of. I would guess that the reason that is because maybe a little bit like the disciples, you don't catch a lot of fish. Listen, there's nothing worse than sitting in a boat all day and catching fish, not catching fish, than for somebody to come up and what? Well, no, they come up and ask you, caught any fish? You ever done that? I've done that. I don't know why I do that. How's it going? But you know, Jesus was being very strategic as he looks out at these men who were following him now back at the very thing that they are doing. Because what Jesus is trying to teach them, what he wants to teach us today is that, one, he will find us. Seek us out. We can't escape or run so far away that Jesus won't be there. You know, for some of you, that's why you're here today. God wants to personally find you again. Some of you, for the very first time, you've been running. And Jesus is calling out, did you catch any fish? And they said, I love it, what it says at the end. It says no. You see, when it comes to starting over, guess what has to happen? Humility. So many times pride will keep us from changing. You know, I can do this on my own. I can fix this out. But Jesus is saying, have you caught any fish, fishermen? No. It takes humility to start over. You see, in John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, Jesus talking to the disciples, here's what he said about what it looks like to be humble in him. It says, remain in me and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Underline this last part. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Humility. You see, you can run, Peter, but apart from me, away from me, outside of abiding in me, you're not going to be able to accomplish anything other than even as a fisherman, you won't be able to catch the very thing that you call yourself to be because I have called you to do something else. And so we first have to admit that we need to change, right? It's like the first step that we want to change, that we want to do something different. And then the next thing is we have to change our routine into a relationship. Change our routine into a relationship. It means I have to stop running. I have to stop making excuses. I have to stop saying I'm just going to try harder. You know, this time I'm going to read my Bible more. This time I'm going to be nicer to my kids. This time. And what happens is under my own effort, I will be fruitless. Jesus said, outside of being in me, you will produce nothing. And so I take that routine and realize that it is part of a relationship. John 21:6, here's what Jesus said. He yells out to him. He says, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. It says, and when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Does this sound familiar? As Jesus called his disciples, calling them to a life that was different than what they had, once again, he's calling out to them, hey, listen to me. Listen to my voice. Abide in me. Throw your net out on the other side. And it says, when they did, which means there was some obedience, they look and they throw it out on the other side that Jesus asked them to do, and it says because of they were unable to haul in the nets because of the large number of fish. You see, obedience is the game changer when it comes to starting over. When I begin to surrender my will to what God is doing, and so starting over always requires surrender. You see, Jesus is telling them again back to the thing that he asked them to do, that when he asked them to come and follow him, he was asking them to surrender everything. He's reminding them of the call on their life. Not that fishing is bad, not that those things are not good, but he had called them specifically to walk a different life, a life of surrender. You see, he's looking at him, he's saying, listen, don't trade one routine, being a fisherman, for another routine, being a fisherman. I'm calling you to a different life. I'm calling you to something that is far greater than you can even understand. And I know you're running, Peter. I know that you are 90 miles from where you should be because you think that I don't love you anymore. You turned your back on me. You abandoned me in my greatest time. But you know what, Peter? My love is greater than that. I died on the cross for the very sin by which you denied for me. And now I stand on the shore calling out to you, Peter, calling you back to the life that I've called you to lead. So don't go back to the routine of what you feel comfortable. Go back into that relationship. Back into the relationship of Jesus. So it starts with the fact that Peter in chapter 4 had called them to a different life. 4:18 through 20, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. He says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fish for people, or as one translation says, for fishers of men. And it says, at once they left their nets and followed him. You know, one time they had dropped what they were doing in obedience and followed after Christ. And I've always wondered, how does that work? What does that look like? But in the Jewish culture, man, when a rabbi came up and said, hey, come follow me, it meant, hey, I think you can do what I do. And they immediately dropped their nets and they begin to follow after Christ. But what do we see now after the denial, after all the things that have happened? They've already seen Jesus resurrected, but Peter says, I'm going back to the thing that I'm comfortable with. I'm just a fisherman. I'm not a fisher of men anymore. And Jesus paints this beautiful picture. He says, once again, throw your net over. See what you catch. Abiding in me. And so starting over requires that I leave my comfort zone. You know what? When I am running, when I'm trying to do a do-over, so many times I just want to go back to what's comfortable. To where I'm ministering unto myself and God is saying, listen, don't get outside that comfort zone because that's not where I desire you to be. You know, so many times for me and for you, the greatest growth that we will ever experience, guess what? Is outside that comfort zone. That God is asking us not just to sit back, because in my comfort zone, guess what happens? I can take care of myself. I'm not relying on God anymore. I'm not abiding in him. I'm not really producing anything that is of great value in the great scheme of eternity when I'm just in my comfort zone. And so to start over again, we have to really just know we need to change. We understand that it's a relationship. But listen, here's the thing that really has to happen. Is we have to leave the past and dive into the grace. At some point, you got to lay it down. You see, the difference between these two Jesus is that asked Peter at one point to put his net over the side is that the first time Jesus is there before the cross. But now Jesus is standing on the shore calling out to Peter and to the other disciples with nail-scarred hands. Forgiveness. It's finished. It's completed. I need to tell you something today. There are some of you who are carrying around baggage. You're just like, I can't seem to get past this thing in my life, this regret, this thing that I wish I could do over, this thing that I don't know how God could love me, what I said, what I did. I don't know what it is, but God does. But today, Jesus is standing on the shore with nail-scarred hands, and here's what he's asking you to do. He's saying, leave the past and dive into my grace. The grace is sufficient to cover your sins, past, present, and future. That's good news. That is good news. What do we see? We see in John 21:7-8, we see that Peter, he recognizes that it's Jesus now standing. He says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. John, the apostle John, looks at Peter and he hits him and he's like, it's Jesus. He's on the shore. And Peter, forgetting all that had happened, suddenly realizes it's Jesus, and he just throws all thoughts away. Because what do we know? We know that he jumps straight out into the water. It says, as soon as Simon Peter heard him say it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garments around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. That doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, why not just row in? You know, make sure. That's the comfortable place to be. I mean, it's not wet. I mean, we can, you know, hey, if we take our time, we can. Peter says, no, it's the Lord. He jumps into the water because he cannot wait to see his Lord. His heart is aching with wanting a second chance. He's running, and now Jesus has found him here on the shore. And it says the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. You see, some of you are reliving your past over and over with bitterness. It is absolutely driving you farther and farther away from the one who loves you. Today I'm asking, get out of the boat. Dive into his grace. Move toward Jesus. He is there with his arms open on the beach saying, come. And as Peter runs upon the shore, an interesting thing begins to happen as Jesus now, as the disciples now all come back up, having brought the catch in. Jesus wanting once again to point them to the thing that they had been called to do. And if we want to start again today, it's not just about trying to make yourself better, but it's about the idea that God has called every single one of us to be on mission with him. We say that a lot here at Castle Baptist. The purpose of the church. As we come together collectively, these who were the beginning of what the church would be, once again, Jesus is pointing them to the things that matter when it comes to this idea that when you want to start over, if we begin today, if you want to start over, to begin to think about not the things of yourself, but eternal things. What does Jesus say in John chapter 21, verse 10 and 11? Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've caught. The fishermen, he's saying, you fishermen, bring the fish. Let's have a feast. And so Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish. And he even counted them. 153. That's a pretty good catch, isn't it? We could have a nice fish fry here. Almost every person might have one fish by themselves. It'd be awesome. 153. It says, but even with so many, the net was not torn. You see, Jesus is showing this miracle again, but to demonstrate something. You see, these men are trying to slip back into the thing that's comfortable, the thing that they know, the thing that they think, maybe I've messed up, I've got to go just do this now, I'm just a fisherman. And Jesus is saying, no, I called you to be fishers of men. And here's the reality. The reason I believe that there's a number in there is that we are defined by what we count. 153 fish. A good catch. What Jesus is saying, listen, you can be satisfied with 153 fish, but I've called you to tell you that it's greater. I can bless you as a fisherman with 153. Or I can bless you as a fisher of men with things you can't even understand at this point. You see, what you count is what you are defined by. And Jesus is saying, listen, it was full of large fish, 153. But Jesus is asking them, he's asking me, he's asking you, he's saying, listen, when we start over, to truly start over, it means that we want to change our priorities. And Jesus is telling them, listen, you got 153 fish, but I'm calling you to be fishers of men. even greater things. I can bless you as a fisherman, but if you will follow me, you're going to be able to experience an amazing thing. And 153 is great, but let me just tell you something. I don't want to be defined by how many fish I catch. You know, we all count things, right? We count our checking account. We count, you know, how many this, how many things did I produce, all those things, and nothing wrong with any of those. But I want to tell you something. As a follower of Christ, Jesus is saying, count things that last for eternity. You know, 100 years from now, none of this will matter. None of it. What I count, you know, all those things. You know, the only thing that'll matter 100 years from now is my relationship with Jesus. That's it. That's worth counting, isn't it? That's worth counting. You know, at this church, I hope that we are about fishers of men and women, of people. I know that we are. I know that we are. Listen, there are numbers that matter. That's why we take roll on certain things. That's why there's a whole book in the Bible called Numbers, yeah. It's not that God doesn't care about numbers. But you know what numbers do matter? There are between 40 and 50 kids sometimes on Wednesday nights here at Awana. That matters. That'll matter 100 years from now. Look around you and see if there's any empty seats next to you. Look around. Just look around. I see them. Those numbers matter. Every single one of those seats represent somebody could be sitting in that seat, hearing the gospel, building a relationship, learning more about Christ. Those are numbers that matter. It's not about filling this building up so we can count it and go, hey, we got 153 fish. Aren't we good, Jesus? Jesus is reminding them and reminding us today, count things that matter. You know, I love the fact that many of you are starting to get it, that yes, we need to reach our community, and we do a good job. But as God opens doors to other parts of the world who have never heard the name of Jesus, many of you are starting to get it. You're giving, you're praying, and you're going. Let me just show you some numbers that matter when it comes to sharing Christ even overseas. Johnny Harrison and I will be joining a team of about 20 people to go to the country of Albania in about a month. Let me show you some numbers that matter. This is a certificate roster from our English class. It's one English class out of about 500 students. These represent people that live in Albania. It's 80% Muslim. At one time, the most communist country in the world, even greater than North Korea. But God has swung a door open, and the gospel is growing. These are names, and what happens is that at the end of the week, after hearing the gospel and responding, they fill out a survey. And they indicate to us that they made a decision. Now listen, I don't know. Only God knows where their heart is in that moment. But here's what I want you to know. Question number 4 is, did you genuinely and sincerely ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart this week? Out of 18 students, 16 said yes. That's a number that matters. Listen, I completely get it. Some of them said it just because they liked their teacher. But they said yes, either a step toward God or a step into a relationship with God. Listen, we're not there to save anybody, but I will tell you what, we go as Jesus has told us because these numbers matter because he's asked us all to be fishers of men. whether overseas or even in your day-to-day life. So please be praying as we continue toward that, that we're going to see another outpouring of God's love and His grace as we share the good news with those from Albania. You know what's interesting is in this verse, it talks about the fact that we need to, in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, I'm sorry, it says, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to be fishers of men." And the reason I show you this is that the word "you" there in the Greek is a plural word. It means that we need to do it together. Together. And so as we finish up our time together, and just the last few minutes that we have, I don't know what God is doing with you as far as what He's saying, as far as what you need to take a step towards. Or maybe you are trying to start over, but I just want to tell you this. Maybe you already know it, but I want to remind you with the words of Jesus that it's never too late to start over. It's never too late. Some of you might think it's too late. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too, you know, whatever. It's never. As we read earlier in Lamentations, that God's grace and His mercies are new every day. Guess what? Today is a new day. We took a breath. We got out of bed. Most of us brushed our teeth. We came to church. Today is a new day. Jesus, as Peter now, He's demonstrating what renewing the call upon their life. He looks at Peter and they've had breakfast now. I love the fact that Jesus eats. That is so good. You should be excited about that. Jesus in His new body eats food. Man, we should be so excited about that. In heaven, we're going to eat. But Jesus, as He's finishing up breakfast, in John chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these?'" Don't you know, as that breakfast was ending and Jesus is looking across the fire and He's like, "Peter, let's go take a walk." He's probably like, "I'm not looking forward to this walk." I mean, I'm just saying, he's probably like, you know, as Jesus says, "Let's take a walk," and He looks at him and he puts His arm around him. I can just picture him. He says, kind of pointing back to the other disciples, "Do you love me more than these?" He's like, "Yes, Lord. Yes. You know that I love you." Jesus looks at him and He says, "Feed my lambs. Do what I've called you to do. Start over. Put that behind you. It was a bad episode in your life. Today is a new day, Peter. I love you. But do you love me?" You see, it starts with that relationship with God, renewing back to God being that central focus. How do we know this? Because in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, as Jesus talked about what was greatest, what to focus on, here's what He said. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." You see, you understand that as God loves us, as we understand what He's done for us, the redemption of what He has washed away, the rejections of who He is, the sin, the guilt, we now can love people like God loves people, unconditionally. Repairing those relationships. It's never too late to start over. As Peter is encouraged by Jesus, and He's asking Peter, this is what He's asking him, "Do you love me? Are you ready to start over? Are you ready for a new day?" I'm asking you today and myself today, do we love Him? Are you ready for a new day? Are you ready to put those burdens aside? Those things that are holding you back? The things in your mind, I just can't do that, or I just don't want to do that, or I just can't. Whatever it is, I don't know whatever it is. And so today we ask the question, today I need to start. What is it? You see, for some, you're like, well, maybe today I'll just start being nicer to my kids or to my spouse, and that's good. Today I'm going to start reading my Bible more. That's great. Today I'm going to begin to eat healthier. That's awesome. Those are all good things. But maybe it's deeper than that. Today I'm going to turn back to Christ. I'm going to begin to understand that this life is one of seeking Him first. It's a life of sacrifice, of following after Him, and understanding that I play a big part in what He's doing. That next week as I go out, I won't see myself just as going to a job, but I will see myself as one who has jumped out of the boat into His grace and now into a part of His plan, as one who has been forgiven. What do you need to start over today? You see, the reality is that sometimes I don't feel like a very good pastor. Sometimes I don't feel like a very good husband. I don't feel like a very good dad. But the reality is that as I begin to think about those things, realizing that when they happen, I want to run as far away, I think about Jesus standing on the shore with His arms open wide, saying, come to Me. I love you more than you can understand. I died so that we could know each other intimately, and that everything you have done has been paid for. Dive into the grace. Immerse yourself in it. And start anew today. As we go into a time of decision, this is your opportunity and my opportunity to just turn it over to Him. Maybe for some of you today, you have never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never genuinely given Him your heart. You know all about Him. I'm just telling you that He's on the shore. He's here today. He's done everything on your behalf, in my behalf. If you would like to know more about how you have a personal relationship with Him, I'm going to be right down here. Please come, and we'll start a conversation today about that. Introduce you to Him personally. Maybe today you just need to come down and spend some time with God and say, today is a different day. I'm turning it over to You. I'm going to pray when I'm done at your opportunity to respond. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this opportunity that we have, God, to come together and to worship You. God, we thank You for Your word and that it does not leave out the parts of Peter's life, God, that we can relate to. It doesn't make him a superhero. God, Peter is a man, a real person that existed, that rejected You to Your face, and yet You sought him out. Father, there's nothing we've done that Your blood can't cover, that You didn't take care of on the cross. God, I pray today for me and for everyone here that today will be a day that we can let go and start anew. Father, there are probably things, I know there are things in every one of our lives, God, that we can lay down at the foot of the cross and move forward. So Father, I pray for our time here in just a few minutes, God, that You'll do a mighty work in my life and the life of everyone here as we continue to worship. Father, as we sing this song together, God, may it be a prayer from our heart that we have been redeemed in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand?